Welcome to Coming Up for Air, the Allies in Recovery podcast, with hosts Laurie McDougall, Kayla Solomon, and Dominique Simone Levine.
Okay, ladies. So today's topic, what we're going to talk about is, we get this question constantly. We get this question of, my loved one is now in treatment. It's usually residential treatment, but it could be other forms of treatment, or my loved one is engaged or totally willing and committed to treatment. Can I back off of my craft skills now? Can I just kind of relax with that? And I think it's a really important topic for us to talk about. What are your thoughts, Dominique?
Yeah, I just want to add the other question that is related to that is, they're home from treatment, you know, now what? I think part of the reason we get these questions is that if anybody's read on CRAFT, they know that it's a 12-week training program. That's the way it's always been done in the studies. And so there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And the main outcome of interest in CRAFT has been engaging your loved one into treatment. So everything is sort of driven to get your loved one into treatment by 12 weeks. And we know from the study outcomes, and they've been replicated over and over again, that it's anywhere from 2/3 to 70% of families are able to engage a loved one into treatment by learning CRAFT. And keep in mind that when they look for their study participants, they're asking families who have loved ones that are resistant to treatment. And that's over 50% of all people who even acknowledge they have a problem with alcohol or drugs are still resistant to getting any help, right? And I'm not saying anything new to anybody that's on listening on this podcast, but it's a major problem, and CRAFT was designed to address engagement into treatment. So by 12 weeks, you engage 2/3 to 70% of your loved ones into treatment. They did a study where it went on for 4 more weeks, and there was no significant increase in families being able to engage additional loved ones into care. So they decided 12 weeks was the right cutoff time for this particular intervention called CRAFT. Allies in Recovery has made a few major changes, additions to CRAFT over our 20-year history and experience of doing CRAFT now with thousands of people. I think we probably, hands down, have treated and helped more families with CRAFT than anyone else out there. But the first thing we did was we cut out the 12 weeks. Family members need this language. They need CRAFT for, really, Lori likes to say, for the rest of your life. I mean, it's like, okay, just for today, if you can't stand that, you know, just for today, you're going to continue to use CRAFT, because just for today, it's going to help you soften, engage, listen, be a little more thoughtful, have some ideas of where to go with what you hear and what you see. And so that's something that's going to go on today and tomorrow. And that's really missed in the original CRAFT work. The power of CRAFT is the change in the family member over time, that by continuing it, you just continue to deepen the connection, improve the transparency. As one member just said, he's so forthright now about his drinking. You know, I know what's going on. He talks to me. And that's really, I think, the primary outcome that should be studied with CRAFT, because it is through that connection that you're there, that they come to you asking for help, that you hear it, that you know how to respond to it, that you have a list of options ready, all of that stuff. That is what makes our CRAFT after 20 years much more powerful, I think. And we just ran a survey again with our members. Thank you for answering. 138 of you answered out of over 1,000 people that are active on our site right now. And it's really clear that it works, and it works on an ongoing basis, and it works at any point in the cycle of your loved one's potential addiction issue. There may be a reoccurrence down the road. You know, you may end up being surprised by their abstinence. Well, I just decided that was it. And it's like, whoa. And that sort of profound decision is surprising, but that's it. That is all that is needed at some time. So you're just paying attention and you're just watching this and you're moving with it and you're understanding how to respond to it.
I just want to pipe in as a clinician, because so much of the talk about craft is getting into treatment. And as a person who I do the treatment, there's this assumption that you're going to step in the room and this miracle happens once you go to treatment. And that is not the case. The treatment is the beginning of a process of working and changing and modifying behavior and modifying how you think and looking at what triggers are. And it's a very similar analogy as if somebody is bipolar and they get on the right medication, they feel balanced and fine. And that's when they stop taking their meds. And then there are many people on this site that understand that when our loved ones stop taking their meds, then there's this exacerbation of symptoms and terrible things happen because they're not taking their meds anymore. I see it the same way. Same thing with couples counseling. You go in for couples counseling, it is not the end of the story. It's a framework of how to live your life with this other person, what tools you're going to use, how you're going to approach things, how to think about things differently. It's an ongoing process. Treatment is not an end. It's the beginning of something. It provides you with tools to work with, what craft is. And we consider Allies in Recovery as an applied craft model. So that what we're asking you to do is, if you're using this model, take all the skills and the tools and the ways of thinking that we're talking about and ingest it and start to integrate it into who you are and how you think about things, how you talk to other people, not just the loved one who's using. It's about changing how you approach your emotions and how you react to things. And that is an ongoing process. And you don't want to see any of this as there's an end, there's a date, there's an expiration date with this. It's ongoing. Same thing for people who have been using this and their loved ones aren't getting into treatment. You have to keep doing it, because as you double down and keep doing it, it changes things. You might not see it, but it changes things.
So basically what we're saying is, when they're doing research and they're trying to get specific data and specific results, they can't have an ongoing research project that's going on for 20, 30, 40 years. They have to set some limits on it. And that's why they created these particular research programs based on 12 weeks. Once they got the data that 12 weeks is basically the time when you can get most treatment-resistant patients using craft into treatment was right around 12 weeks. And that's why they chose that cutoff time. But what we're saying and what Allies in Recovery has done is we are looking at addiction and the recovery process for addiction as a lifelong continuum of care. So you don't want to stop once your loved one gets into treatment. You don't want to stop at 12 weeks. You want to continue on through the whole life process of recovery. And I'm also going to say this. What I find interesting is, and you alluded to this, Kayla, and that is addiction and the recovery process for addiction. People always say this. They say addiction is a family illness. It's the whole family, and it's the whole family that needs healing, right? In order for the best possible results, not only for the individual with addiction, but for the family in general. And then it bleeds out into the community as well. So what I find very interesting is why we think as family members, as the people surround that entourage that surrounds our loved ones with substance use disorder, that when those individuals go into some form of treatment, and we know how difficult that process is for them and how much work they have to put in on their own recovery process, why we think it stops for us. We are a part of it. We are a part of it. It doesn't stop for us. And so, yes, the research-based clinician craft and those skills are for that 12 weeks. But for the continuum of care for the whole family, it never ends. And craft is a process of healing for the family member. and for the family as a unit. So for me, it's a life change. It's a life change. I'm using these skills and strategies for me. They make me a better individual at communicating and interacting with my loved one, but with everybody else as well. And so I say, it's a never-ending process. So stick with those craft skills. Don't stop. Keep going.
And another way that we've added to the original craft, and this is probably the biggest change you'll see in our applied work, is we focus much more on the family than the original craft did. The original craft was really designed just to teach you enough to get your loved one into treatment. It really wasn't designed to change you, the family member. And the first thing we did was we added a whole module on self-care, which was much more than what the original craft asked you to do. We looked at, for us, we started with cognitive behavioral therapy, which is an approach that looks at the way our thoughts and feelings affect our behavior and how our behavior affects our thoughts and feelings. And basically the idea, the simplest idea of cognitive behavioral therapy is that we have a feeling, but if we stop long enough and look at it, there's usually a thought that preceded it. And what happens is that we're caught in the feeling and we don't even remember what made us feel that way. But if you can remember what made you feel that way, he's late, therefore he must be dead, then you can catch how distorted sometimes your thinking can be. And for families of people with addiction, that distortion can be so severe and so negative because you have a handful of experiences that tell you he could be dead. He has done such extremely dangerous things, right? So right now in the moment, you don't know if he's dead or alive, but everything's pulling you down towards he's dead, though you don't know. And that's what we call a cognitive distortion. You don't know yet, your thoughts are pulling your feelings down to this place of complete hopelessness and helplessness. And so we teach you to look for distortions like that in your own thinking. Families with somebody with addiction get into a lot of negative thinking, and that negative thinking can be classified, can be labeled, can be identified, can be softened, can be questioned. And we're going so fast and we're so scared that we're asking you in so many ways to slow it down. So in that particular way, Applied Craft Allies in Recovery style has you taking a very basic look at that fundamental principle of thoughts affect feelings and behavior. And that when you have a thought, you put it through a lens, you put it through a distortion, a lens in our case very often is a distortion to the negative. You want to pay attention to the fact that you're doing that to yourself, because as bad as things are, you make them worse in your head and you make your feelings even worse.
And I think with all of that, if you look at the question of, should I stop using craft? That's like saying, should I stop having a positive relationship with myself and loved ones? So that's how we want to reframe this question. It's like, let's look at what craft really is. So we have this increasing awareness that we're asking you to do, where you're looking at, you're going from unconscious and reactive to more aware of your thoughts, more aware of your feelings. And then that allows you to have choice over your behavior. And that's a process that takes time. It is not fast. We're asking you to look for the positive, which is not something that comes naturally to most people, especially in this environment. You're starting to look for microscopic positivity, or as some of you know, I call it the positivity detective, where the reason I came up with that phrase is I found that people were so hardwired to find the negative, to see the negative, to engage with the negative, but we are not hardwired to see the positive. And when I think about detectives, they're looking at microscopic cues in their environment to be able to put something together. So to me, it's like you're looking at the tiny little cues in your environment that you can engage with that are positive. You're looking at changing your communication style, which is listening better and not engaging in a negative way, or not asking leading questions or accusing somebody of things. You're stepping back and being more interested and curious about what the person has to say, and you're encouraging them to keep talking talking without your opinion or reactivity or engagement about yourself. You're listening to them. You're also looking at what your needs are. That is not a common pattern for this group of people. It's like, it's always about this external, what does everybody else need? And how do I save this person's life? And oh my God, we're in a crisis and the house is on fire. What do we do? And so we're asking you to calm your system down and engage in this kind of more quiet, healing, stepping back behavior so that you could actually engage in a more effective way. We're asking you to know what's out there in terms of treatment and not just say you need help, but really have you take some time and explore what treatment options are there and do the research in advance so that when your loved one is ready, you have it available. And we also teach you how to look for these openings when it's actually a good time to talk about it and not just when you're feeling the most anxious. So there's this incredible tool set that actually is very, very powerful and effective. And I just want you to know, as somebody who's been a clinician for a long time working in the world of addictions, I've never seen anything that's this detailed and that is so helpful to family members so that they really have an opportunity to work on themselves. And that's not including getting outside help for like therapy and dealing with trauma and things like that. It's really just things you can actually do in the meantime.
And I want to stress my own personal journey, just how effective applied craft, not research craft, but how effective applied craft is. I was not originally focused on myself and changing myself. I was not. That's the one gift I think that Allies gave me, was it gave me a way to interact and to affect change in my loved one immediately, quickly and immediately. And it helped me implementing these skills and strategies that I was learning. It helped me to understand not only addiction, right? It helped me to understand addiction better, but not only addiction, but how people in general work, and that listening is such a freaking powerful skill and such a powerful tool to have. I didn't understand how powerful it was. And just helping me to understand how that other person worked helped me to understand myself a little bit better, helped me to understand, oh, this is why I react the way I react. And you know what? It's pretty darn, and I'm putting it in quotes, and so I know people can't see it, but it's pretty darn normal. And it's kind of par for the course for a family member who's in chaos and crisis to respond the way I am. So I'm very similar to my loved one. My response to the situation is very similar to my loved one with addiction, but also everybody else involved in this situation. And it helped me to become more empowered in understanding how other people work, how I now work, and the changes that I can make with myself to affect everything in my environment, not just my loved one with addiction, but my other children, my husband, my coworkers, other people that are struggling with mental illness or addiction or just anything in general. So this is why with Allies in Recovery, we're talking about this very different application that it's craft applied, not research craft, in that it helps you make changes in your life, in who you are and how you're going to affect the world around you.
Yeah, exactly. If the researchers, and this is true of so much of this really excellent research, it does really well in the research environment. And then when it rolls out, it becomes so twisted, so not replicable on the ground. And there's not enough support to keep it going on the ground. And this has been one of my primary concerns in the 20 years was, can we replicate craft with fidelity? Which means, are we doing the same thing as the original craft? Are we getting the same kind of results? Yes, we are getting the same kind of results as they're getting in that original research. It's not the controlled trial I would like it to be, because I can't get a researcher to look at outcomes that don't include outcomes for the person with addiction. This is another issue I can talk a long time about, but foundations that I have spoken to don't so much care about the family at all. They just want to see what happens to the person with addiction. And what we're asking foundations to do is to actually study the family, look at what we're doing to change the family and how that is changing the loved one with addiction. And, you know, we stop at the door of treatment. So we are at the beck and call of however that treatment goes for that person. So we don't affect outcomes in that way. I just want to add that one more way that we have deepened and taken CRAFT to the next level is helping families make some of these big decisions. CRAFT was designed in the interaction, and it's very strong communication, what you can say, do in the moment, your body, your voice, your decisions. But everybody comes to us with, oh my God, he's cracked up the car, she's dropping out of school. Do I let them home? Do I not? Do I pay rent? What about the cell phone? What if they can't reach me? You know, so there's a ton of these questions that come up in the lives of people who love someone with addiction. The resources you hold can be considered rewards. How are you going to meter that out? Can you make it temporary, like you would want any reward to be? So applying the principles of CRAFT to the larger story of you and your loved one, and of your loved one, and the resources that you provide and what you want to support, all of that has been worked out so many ways in our blogs over the years and the questions our families have sent in to us that we've answered in this tailored way that you can read. So many specific ways of addressing home versus no home, or they're at a distance and they're out of communication except when they want money, and things are going really bad and I don't know much. And none of those people would have been research subjects because it's too messy, but we're in the mess with you. We're not just in the mess in your living room, we're in the mess of the life of it. And I feel like by applying the principles of CRAFT to the bigger mess, you will also see the path forward better. You will make decisions that protect you, are more in line with your values, and that do what you can for your loved one.
And I also want to be clear that we also offer a tremendous number of resources for people to even think about these things. There's the actual online element, which are the modules and the blogs and the videos, and there's question spaces for questions. There's so many opportunities for people to engage online. And then there's the more contact-based ones that we have: support groups, we have the rest meetings, we have the skills groups, we have the human touch. There's so many opportunities for people to actually speak to somebody or engage with somebody to get their questions asked. But as we know with the groups that we run and the brilliance of the people that are engaging with this is very high and very strong. It's astonishing to me the level of work that people are doing. And so there's this level of expertise that exists within this environment that it's not just the three of us. It's actually all these other people that are engaging, who have been doing the work, who have been changing, who have been working on themselves. And it's actually remarkable to watch how people have changed how they operate and think and engage and feel about themselves and have self-care. And it's not without, it's fraught at times, because this is not this easy, straightforward path where you're like, you're doing the work and the angels come out and, you know, the sun is out and it's beautiful and you're a little rabbit foo-foo. It's that when things get rough, there's a place to go. When things get rough, you have a place to think about things and step back. And what I find is when people first come to us, it's kind of like people step in with what I consider a panic attack. Like, they can't breathe, they can't think, they're activated, they're hijacked, and everything feels too much and nothing makes any sense, and they don't have what they need to be able to get out of it. And I feel like what Allies in Recovery does, and it's more than CRAFT to me, Allies in Recovery has taken CRAFT and created this other environment to think about things and do the work and slow things down so that you can grow and change through it. And I just want to point out that we have the treatment part also, which is the original CRAFT had you walk across the hallway and your loved one is in treatment. And we have this way of thinking out what kind of treatments would work for people, how to create a list of treatment possibilities for your loved ones. But also, I have come to this, I assume that we all share this, that treatment starts with the family, and that creating a safer, more open, more forgiving, but not doormatty forgiving, like more like flexible, pliable, you know, way of being with your loved one. What's the word they use, Lori?
I say understanding or compassionate.
Compassionate. Absolutely. That's the beginning of treatment. Any treatment provider knows that the relationship is first. It doesn't matter what tool set you have as the provider. If the person doesn't like you, doesn't feel safe, doesn't feel compassionate, there is no treatment. So that's the beginning of treatment for every single person that is dealing with substances and that we're working with.
And I think the last piece we have time to go over, and there's more, is that craft works on any degree of chronicity in your loved one, any degree of drug addiction. And sometimes we get, this sounds all very nice. You know, you're a middle-class people, you have homes to give them. And that's not the case with everyone. But we have worked with families that have very, very severe situations. And I just want to point out one very creative solution. There's part of the criminal justice system in British Columbia that when they work with somebody on a bracelet, you know, when it's out, they're not incarcerated, but they're still in criminal justice care, they will let that person go home to the family if the family wants them home and is doing craft. And so this young man, methamphetamine, at times tweaking, psychotic at times, sleeping for days, you know, the cycle of meth. We're going to have Brian Cerna back on to talk more about what at West they know very well. But the justice system worked with the mom to say, we will let him home. And she wanted him home. But mom and son had to work out where he would go and not be home when he's tweaking or when he's high or when he's sleeping it off. He can only be home in the periods when he's not involved with the methamphetamine, which he was getting 2, 3, 4 weeks in between episodes. So everybody was trying. And the criminal justice system saw the possibility of not incarcerating this person, of not having to find a sober home for this person. The mother felt for the first time that she saw it more clearly. She could handle this. She could negotiate. She could work with her son, and she wanted him home. She really wanted him home. So that's a scenario I have never heard of before that came out of the creation of people out in British Columbia who were using craft. And she still attends our group, I know, and we've been in touch with her. She told me this story. I was just so impressed by her and the flexibility of the system in Canada.
And that's the change that's been created.
Okay, Kayla. So do a quick wrap up of what we discussed today.
So there is no end to craft. It's kind of infinity. if you're here and you have a loved one that's been engaged with alcohol, drugs, any other substances or any addictive behavior, then you need to see this as a lifelong process. It is not, there's no start, middle, and end. It's a lifelong process. And the way that Allies works is that we ask you to look at yourself. We ask you to learn more about the addiction. And we ask you to actually start shifting so that you become part of the treatment process, especially for yourself. And then as you change and as you grow and you start to see things differently and react differently, it has a profound effect on your loved one. But that doesn't stop at some miraculous point. Anytime you're working on yourself, as I like to say to people, as long as you're breathing, there's more work to do. And so if you could see this in that framework, and again, there are people that might say, okay, I'm done, but then you can come back if you need it. So that's not a failure. That's really just about, okay, you're done with this process for the moment, and then you can come back when you need it. But it is not a beginning, middle, and end. It's an ongoing process.
Thank you, ladies. And I just want to remind our listeners that we offer a free one-day training if members complete half of the modules in a 10-day period of time. It's a $250 training session. It's about 5 hours in one day. And it's craft immersive. So check it out on the Allies in Recovery website. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. We hope this episode of Coming Up for Air spoke to you. If you're listening in today on a podcast platform that isn't the Allies member site, please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating. This helps others find the show more easily. If you have a suggestion for a new topic or a guest for the show, please reach out through the Contact Us form on alliesinrecovery.net. Special thanks to our hosts, our guests, and our production team.